Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome, my wing. Healed, in recovery, quick recovery. Amen. Good to see you. Praise God. Yeah, we miss people when they're not here, and I know that's no criticism of anybody. I said to Robert, we missed him. He was away, had to be away a few weeks, but you know, you miss people, and you're glad to see them back. And,
amen.
And praise God. Amen. So God is good, and but you know, we're in this time. I always think, I'm going to read this to you, just, it wasn't going to be my starting scripture, but just the thing the pastor wrote and thinking about Israel and the time we're in, and the people that are out there with no clue. But behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It does not yet appear, but we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this is the thing. Verse 3, and every man that has, or woman that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And now is the time to be doing that. And just taking things seriously, but enjoy. You know, don't get stressed. Enter into the rest of God. Have fun. But realize the seriousness of the times. Is that a paradox? Well, let's pray for a moment here first. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you. We set ourselves to listen to you. I want to hear what you have to say. We set ourselves to get something today that we can use tangibly, put into practice, and it'll help us because you are the God that is more than enough. So release our faith in your goodness today in Jesus' name. Amen. In preparing for this, a couple of words kept coming to me over the weeks. One was positioning. And another was focus. And I think a lot of the church is so, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the global church, is so not focused. Just scattering here and there and not focusing on what they need to be doing. And yesterday, I got this word that came up in me. Nobody prophesied to me. I was just working out in the basement, listening to some stuff, and this came up. And I believe it's something that God wants us to major on today, but it's in Revelation 4. And I'm not going to teach on Revelation. Revelation 4, but it says, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. In other words, this is a piercing sound talking to John. Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. So what really blessed me was, come up hither, come up higher, come up here, and I will show you things. So God wants to show us things, and we want to get up higher. You know, if you're up higher here, you can see it's a different vision field, and he wants us to step up, because, you know, you can reach things more than you can down here. You can reach, grab things of the Spirit. So I think that it's just, as I'm ministering today, think about those three things, positioning, focusing, and coming up so he can show us things. So let's just, you know, of course, turn off the thoughts, you know, is the roast for lunch going to be done or this and that, you know, we'll get there. So, you know, if somebody walks out today, you know, they're just offended. I'm just kidding. I know he told me. That's why I said that. No, I know. There's some people, things have to be taken care of, but praise God. So we're in a time like never before. You shouldn't have told me. No, I know. Yeah, just got to keep it light. So. Because this is a serious message, a serious time we're living in. I mean, how would you like to, I mean, this country, I don't think we really focused on our position. You know, they used to say we got the oceans protected. And then we had 9/11 attack. We got attacks. We got terrorists coming in across the border like free will. But Israel, as small as they are, the size of New Jersey, and all around them, enemies. I mean, I would sooner support an army on another land than have them fighting in our land. But I mean, But oh, we cannot separate the funding for Ukraine versus, you know, Israel. I don't know where that stands. I haven't seen the news lately, but so such ridiculous stuff. So go to a higher place. Step up, you know. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to go over some basic scriptures that you all know about, but I believe some things God will reveal to us in stepping up, coming up higher. So Paul, by the Holy Ghost, in Ephesians 1 said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Who's he writing to? Us, yeah, the church. Grace be to you and peace. Anyways, this is one of the prayers, I pray this for us, you guys. Grace be to us and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, it has past tense, has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, spiritual blessings. Some people say, well, see there, you can't have anything real tangible or anything. That's not true. Where are we seated? It says in next chapter, we've been raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So positionally, we're right there. We know this, but we also need to know that we live on this earth. I might use the phrase down here, even though, you know, the kingdom of God's in us, and just using some things as examples. We have to realize that we need to have physical things down here. We need to have our bodies healed. We need to have money. We need to have deliverance. We need, you know, so how do we get these things from the spiritual blessings in heavenly places to here? Well, you know, there is a pipeline. And I mean, I don't know if that's a good term. I'm using that phrase because it's something I'm going to talk about in just a minute. A pipeline, you know, from heaven to earth, and you bring this in by faith. But can your pipe get clogged? You know, there's a, God is not, the other week I mentioned the offering about Ephesians 3, he's blessed us, I'm gonna just read one section of that because it makes a point here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So there is no limit. A grant, I made the point of the offering that a grant nowadays with the state of the federal government, you've got to have a certain amount of points and you might get funded this year, maybe next year, maybe 5 years. But with God, that's not the case. He's got a supply. I mean, he supplied us before the foundation of the world, before you and I were ever even thought of in our parents' mind, before we ever existed. He supplied us with everything we'd ever need from now through eternity. And I'm convinced it's so much more than we are even thinking about now. I mean, we have a covenant of prosperity. We have a covenant of healing. And I believe the church is coming alive to this right now, which will get the attention of the world. So look out, George Soros. You ain't seen nothing yet. You know? I don't want to get off on too many rabbit trails, but the wealth transfer is a real thing. And I want to talk about that sometime, but not today. So there are things that, you know, it's what is given to us by grace. It says grace to us and peace must be received by faith. We know this. It is a faith that it might be by grace. So we got this flow of God. He's put everything there for us. He's given it to us. It's like somebody's drinking out of a fire hydrant, you know. But why is it that sometimes you feel like, what's going on here? I don't seem to be making the connection. It's just drip, drip, drip instead of you know, flow. So, in fact, I heard Kenneth Copeland say this. God showed him in a vision one time this pipeline of flowing blessing, but it's dropping on his head, and it's so irritating. He said, what's this? He said, your pipe's clogged up. And for him, it was unforgiveness. Now, I'm going to be talking about blessing blockers. I call them blessing blockers. Just because we've been blessed doesn't mean you're walking in it. There are blessing blockers, and you can call it whatever you want, but we'll call them something else in a minute here if I can get that door open. What's behind door number one? You can only hope it's before you have to leave. Blessing blockers. So this is not an exhaustive study on blessing blockers or things, but by the Holy Ghost, I'm telling this, if you will listen today, the Holy Ghost will show you some things that, for you, personally, that maybe are blocking your flow. I mean, I don't know what that is for you. I know some things I've got to deal with. She hit some of them today in the offering. You know, I look at that closet and I realize it's got to, I love these shirts and stuff. I just haven't had a chance to wear them. We don't get out much. No. Lozer says to me, what is your rule? A 6-month pile and a 3-year pile or something? If it's there a while, you take it to the scrap. Yeah, well, Scott. Yeah. You digest, you work on it.
For women, they say if you hang all the hangers backwards, and then as you wash it there, you hang it forward. Anything that stays backwards after 6 months, you get rid of it.
Smart, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, gang. We'll have a huge yard sale here or something. No, I don't know. We'll give it to Jubilee. Well, yeah, some of them.
He's waiting for me to do it. Then, like, why did you throw that away?
I got some suits. Oh, I want to get off on that. I'm not going to embarrass myself anymore. So for example, tangibility of walking in health. What if somebody is sick and they're going to God like this example, which is totally against the way the kingdom operates, but they're going to God like, God, you know, I'm here every Sunday. I tithe, I give offerings, and I'm a good person. Please heal me. You've got to heal me. That's totally against what this, you know. You got to go to God not based on what you can do to make him move.
That's right.
Now, the blessing blockers, you can do some things that'll open the flow. Don't get me wrong. But we go to God based on what he's already done. You do things based on what he's done. You know, he may tell you. Well, like in Kenneth Copeland's interest, he said, you're an unforgiveness. And he gave the example way back to what happened over a basket of cantaloupes where the guy had two on the top that were really beautiful and his wife Gloria bought them, but everything underneath was rotten and he was going to go get that guy. But you know, just something like that, unforgiveness, something like that. Jesus said about not being offended in him. So we don't want to, and Brother Hagin talked about this already, about the, he seemed to see that the people who maybe aren't the most faithful coming to church, or maybe aren't exactly what we call the optimum Christians, but yet they're quick to forgive. They're quick to not hold grudges. They're quick to get in line with what the Word says. They seem to get healed, he thought, more so than the people that are just more straight-laced and depending on their works and what they can do to please God. We don't have to appease God. He loves us. He's already done it. So our actions are based on appropriating what he's already given. Now, we'll move on certain things. You know, if your blood pressure's up or something, he may tell you, okay, go work out. Go get a gym membership. Do whatever. I'm just an example. Or he may tell you to do something. You act because he's already done something. He wants you to flow in it. You got something going on there. But so you're supposed to. I don't want to leave this undone here. You're supposed to give tithes. You're supposed to give offerings. You're supposed to be in church. Hebrews 10. Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see the day approaching. And they may be blessing blockers, but I'm not preaching at you like that today. I'm just saying, don't go based on your performance. We know these things. Go on what he's already done. Appropriate what he's done. Your actions appropriate that, not make him move. You know, you can try and make God move till the day after the rapture, and you know, good luck with that. But we do things in response to what he's done to appropriate what he's already given us. So, now, I heard somebody talking about this past week about this, about the high ground. And man, it went off in me because in spring of 2019, I kept hearing this, go to the high ground, go to the high ground. There's times I'd be string trimming, you know, weed whack, whatever you want to call it. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, be on the safe side, stay on the high ground. We go on vacation. I'm hearing this. Go to the high ground. We're hiking on an area, and it's on a slope, so I'm going up to the high part. I'm just listening to this. And we get home from that vacation, and there's a letter there on the mail from a ministry, and God said to me, "That's you get that. That's important." Talked about the high ground. Talked about, is it Psalm 61, I believe. Take me to the rock that's higher than you when my heart is overwhelmed. So the high ground is where you can look down on the situation and see the problem as it is and act accordingly, knowing what God already did for you. But and this guy this week was talking about a minister on TV, talking about the high ground, and he was in Vietnam, and he said we could hold if we're on the high ground, we could hold with three machine gunners, hundreds of people trying to come up that hill at us. And you know, and I thought about was it the Devil's Den down in the Gettysburg? That one, we biked there. Oh my gosh, trying to get up that hill. Oh, and we pushed the bikes up that hill. And so whoever was on top, I think it was the Union, the other guys had a hard time to come up, you know, to get up there. So what I'm saying about this is you already have been blessed. You've already got healing. You're already healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You're already prosperous. He's already made us rich. And so we have the high ground. So we are in a position, in a defensive position, you could say. We are defending our position of where we are. Hallelujah. We know we have an enemy, the devil. John 10:10, does that strike a bell? You know, anybody know it? So it says the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal your health, steal your money. He wants to kill you if he can and destroy your life, your family, your witness. Amen. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. The Amplified says, have life in abundance to the full, till it overflows. Because I always say when I'm praying this, because it's already been bought and paid for, I take it. Amen. So we've got to take these things. We've got to rise up. You say, some people are so mousy. Well, if God wants me to prosper, he'll just dump it on me. No, he won't. You got to receive. You got to take. In Mark 11:23-24 in there, believe that you receive it. You believe, so that word is take it. Take it aggressively. So, you know, we're on the high ground. We're healed. We're whole. We're wealthy. We protect that. When a report comes that, you're overdrawn, you stay on the high ground. You go on the defensive. You say, no, you don't, devil. I've learned a couple of phrases God gave me over the years. And man, it works. Whenever some symptoms try to come on me, I will say, I refuse any attack of the devil. Amen. And it seems like it's just what God gave me. And then, you know, I'm on this high ground. I'm in defensive posture. You're not taking it from me. You're not stealing. You're not putting that on me. I've already had symptoms. It was last week one day. I don't know what it was, but I said, you can't put that on me. No, you can't put that on me. You cannot put that on me because of what the word says. So it's gone. It went just quickly. Amen. And so you're in that posture of defending what God has given to you, what his stripes, the precious stripes of Jesus. You know, to me, it's an insult for somebody to say, I'm so sick, or that I'm, you know, that's an insult to what Jesus did for us. But now, what if though? Now, like what Pastor talked about the other week, you know, and I'm backing up here. That's why it's so important to daily, weekly, or whatever you can do, go over the healing scriptures. That's because that keeps you on the high ground. Yeah, but I got this thing I'm dealing with. Okay. I put this together like in my mind and the Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm walking in divine health. Now I may have some things that the devil's got a foothold maybe, and there's symptoms I've got to deal with. But I'm going on divine health. Amen. And as Pastor said, either divine health or quick recovery. So we got it made on this. But okay, let's say the devil did get something on you. You got to take treatment. You got to, what have you, you know, whatever it is. You might have some disease. They say you have some disease. All right, you can go on the offensive. But now, you know, up there, the enemy's got this posture above you on that. Now you've got to get a foothold. And it's double duty. It's a fight of faith. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I mean, that is tough. It's like, you know, like Pastor's example, I've heard it before. When the hurricane comes, you don't get the plywood out there. You're halfway out the ocean, blown out, you know. So, I mean, it's so, so important to stay on it now. And man, when I got to admit, I can't every day, some day, I don't get it done. But man, when I do, I start, we could just do this. I start in Exodus. He said, I am the God that healed you. You go through there. You go through some of the scriptures, and it talks about no miscarriage. It talks about all kind of things in the Word. It talks about, you can just go right down through into Isaiah and on through into the New Testament. And I find myself, it's like a better than a steak, naturally speaking. It just feeds you. And when you get to that point, you know you're in faith. You're just, it's a praise thing to God. You're not trying to get there. But if this is new, not new to us, but say new to somebody, feed on it, speak it. It'll start to get in here, and then you'll have it coming out that way. So, you know, that's why it's so important to be speaking these things. You know, there's strength scriptures. You can speak to your spirit. I went over that message one time, but you know, we are fighting to defend our position we've already got, but if you've got a situation, you know, fifth grade, I gotta wear eyeglasses. I mean, they told me I gotta do that. Well, I don't plan to be doing that forever.
Amen.
And I don't mean after the rapture either, but so you add your faith to me. Don't, I shouldn't have said that if you're gonna say, well, who do they think he is? I don't think you guys are gonna do that. But, you know, Kenneth Copeland said, you know, don't judge me. I wear hearing aids. You know, he flew such noisy planes, done a lot of shooting. Right now he's got them, but I don't think he'll have them long. He's going to be 87 in December 6th.
Wow.
Still sings like you would not believe. Frankie Valli's 89, still singing the Four Seasons, but yet he's got nothing on Kenneth Copeland.
Amen.
So you say, well, if you say, for example, and staying on healing for a bit, if you have this thought that, well, yeah, I know, I know, 1 Peter 2:24, I know that. But you see it like that piano, I mean, that's not what I'm talking about, but that area there, if I can just get over there, I mean, those symptoms are going to go, everything's going to be good, I'm healed then. So, but the problem is, you know, going from here to there is not far. But, you know, Alan got a big foot. He could trip me. Sherry could kick me in the shins. Maria could throw something at me, and I might not get there.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, you know, the devil's fine with us putting this off. Like, yeah, I know, but we are working on something, but I'm going to get there. Are you telling me you don't really have 1 Peter 2:24 or Isaiah 53 yet? And we say we don't actually have it. Whereas if right here, I'm holding on to this podium, I've got this, you know. How can I not get what I've got?
Amen.
I don't care what symptoms are there.
Hallelujah.
I don't care that maybe I need this for a moment. My arms are improving, by the way. Doesn't matter. These things, and we'll get to this about the temporal versus the eternal. So be encouraged on this. In the days we're living in, our faith, feed your faith. It knows what to do. It's working for your benefit. You just enter into the rest of God. So, you know, oh, I got to get delivered. Well, does that mean you don't believe Colossians 1, 12, 13 in that area? No, it says we've already been delivered. I gave you that example some time back about smoking. I used to do 3 packs a day of Marlboro, and I walk around this one property we owned, and I'd think, well, we weren't married then yet. And I think, yeah, but Brother Hagin's saying we've already been delivered. I'm pondering this. I'm listening to these tapes of Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, Charles Capps. Already been delivered. Light up another one. My Zippo lighter. Man, that thing is cool. man, I could sell that for a lot of money now. I still, in my closet, though, I still do have a belt buckle that says Marlboro. I bet it's worth a bunch. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm pondering this, and I think it was snowing that night. I'm walking around smoking cigarettes, walking around just pondering this. And I said, well, I'm already delivered. I don't know how this works, but I'm delivered. And I'm not sure the exact date on that, but in June of 1981, that was probably 79, 80, maybe sooner than that. June of 1981, I took my last puff. Stomped it out on Luke 10:17. He gives me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. And that was the end of that deal.
Amen.
Oh yeah. Did I dream about, and that was a non-smoker. It was gone. But did I ever dream in the nighttime? Like, Oh man, I blew it. I just smoked it. You're dreaming. The devil just messing with you, so I don't let him mess with my dreams anymore. But anyway, so we've already been delivered. And you know, Keith Moore says about this. Keith talked to this guy. He said, every time you light up, just say, I'm smoking this cigarette for the glory of God. He said, will you do this? Will you do what I say? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, just when you light up, say, I'm delivered. I have no, you know, no desire to smoke, but I'm smoking this. He said, after a period of time, I don't know how long it was, he's lighting up on a street corner and thinks, I don't need this. I'm done. So, I mean, you are speaking things. So do you think that by speaking, he is the God, he is I am? Now, I am, when they came for Jesus in the garden, they said, we seek Jesus. He said, I am. Man, he blew them down. The power of God. Do you think there's power? That's an old covenant thing. Do you think there's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 and some of these scriptures to change you if you're speaking these things? It's getting in your heart. It's coming out. The things are going to change. Things will change for you. Be encouraged on that. So we've got to appropriate what God has already done by our actions, not try to make him move. You know, so like I said, we've got these heavenly blessings, but the one of the blessing blockers is there's too much talk about in some circles that, well, you got to keep giving, give. That's the only way you're going to receive. Well, yeah, you got to give, but it also says in First Corinthians 13, about you can give everything, dole out everything, and give your body as a martyr, and not walk in love. Oh, that word love, that can be a real blessing blocker, and it gains nothing. So, I mean, believe me, I am all for giving and sowing seed, and I believe there's no harvest without a seed, but, you know, that's not the only thing. And Pastor talked about it's lifestyle. It's lifestyle. And I know the ministries we're partners with, I never hear them talk about trying to get something from us. It's always getting the word out, getting something to the people. We've been in conventions where Kenneth Copeland talks for 40, 45 minutes for the offering. And it's not at all selfish. It's to get money into the partner's hands or the people's hands. Now, we were in a service one time, and I'm not going to mention any names. God bless the ministry. I love the minister. But the offering, we almost walked out. It was just like clang. You know, you got to sense things. But again, you can't be critical. You got to just realize, I'm not giving into that. So, faith only works by love. That's a blessing blocker. So these things of, that's why I mean the church globally is not focused per se. You know, Brother Hagin talked about when he went left, the Baptist gave him the left foot of fellowship, went over to the Pentecostals. He noticed, he said, there's more better living in some of the quote unquote fundamentals than there is in the spirit filled side. Everybody's jump and run and no word is just, so, but now in these days, the Word and the Spirit coming together, this is where we're at. We're being trained. So, I'm really concerned. I got to get this door open here now. Anybody know how to open it? Pull up. To the left. Maybe you want to come and help me there. Let's give a hand to John with his boots and his jacket there. I'm trying to make it look good. All right. Now I'm taking you back. Thank you, John. I really appreciate it. I'm taking you back in time to 1970. I graduated from high school. 2 weeks later, I'm in Penn State main campus. I had to start summer term to get up to main campus where I wanted to be. And it was either summer term or fall term. I had to take Psychology 1 or 101. And I'm not saying this was, I don't remember if this is what they did, but this is a psychology thing here. Can you see that board there? Now, pastor's listening, wondering what I'm talking about. So, Ed, we got a screen here with a, well, what do you guys see there? A bullseye. Yeah, he's a hunter, he's a shooter. What do you see?
A hole.
A hole. Anybody else? Eclipse of the sun. Black dot, yeah. That's what most people see. I was hoping Alan wouldn't say, I see this exotic island with him. So, by the way, Ed, what we're doing is we have a black circle in the middle of the screen, And when Doreen takes it off, it'll probably rip the whole thing apart, but don't worry about it. Just kidding, Ed. Little humor there. But, okay, so what you're seeing there, a black dog, is that, have anybody see anything else? Okay. What's the predominant space? The white. But everybody sees the black dot. So I'm going to go on here talking about the black dots are pretty much blessing blockers. So, you know, what I mean by that is some people are so wrapped up in politics right now. Oh, you know what Biden did? I mean, oh, those Democrats, those Republicans. And then that's fine to be, like I said, we're civic-minded. We volunteer. I'm on planning committee. She's on the rec board. We're involved in our township. You got to know what's going on nationally, too. But when it gets to the point where it's like a religion, and all you do is watch the news and it agitates you and you get mad, it's a black dot. It's a blessing blocker. It's putting something there that's consuming you. You're not focused on the right thing. The dominant space is the white space. All this area, that's so much more area than this circumference. And the white space, in my example, is the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the glory of God, which is the presence of God. Yeah, we got this administration. Yeah, we got Hamas. We got people trying to wipe out Israel. We got, you name it, what agitates you. But we got the glory of God, the presence of God for the church, for us. And we want everybody to experience this. And the world is not going to experience it if they see us so focused on such a negative thing. But the goodness of God, the presence of God, the glory of God, the manifested presence, the manifested power of God. We need to have the power. Like pastors talked about, man, we want to have a witness of not just what I can do, like in my job and have this money, or what I can do by being a vegan, forget that. What I can do by eating right and all that. No, it's what the Word of God, what Jesus has done with His stripes. He made a deal with you to, I don't think he's going to do it to be a vegan. Is anybody a vegan here? Okay, good. And my buddy, one of my friends was a vegetarian. I said, oh, I love it. That's more meat for me. So we got the dominant space here. And the problem with psychology, I despise psychology. I had to take this course. First year in college, I was in class with a lot of pre-med students. Everybody had to take these courses, these things. But the problem with psychology, and somebody tries to put the hoodoo on you, you know, they don't realize the three-part being of man, the spirit, soul, and body. You know, if you hear them saying, well, the body and the mind, and I'm going to get into your subconscious, I want you to listen to this CD so I can subliminally talk to your subconscious. Run. Do not let them in there. Do not let them in there. So anyway, that's what I have against psychology. I also had to take psychobiology. I think I talked about the salmon going back home. That was more interesting. So we determine how big the black dot is. Yeah, we stay informed. I mean, I want to know what they're trying to pull. I'm glad we have a new Speaker of the House. I want to be informed. But if I get to the point, and the news we watch is a certain news that's more filtered in the God spectrum. I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch any of those others. I don't watch Newsmax or anything like that. And that's up to you how much it bothers you. But if I watch that, my big dot, black dot would be taking up the screen if I keep, I mean, just people you think, how can they be so stupid? But what is that Mike Glozer says? You can't fix stupid? Your wife probably told you that many times. No, I don't know. I'm just joking, brother. So, you know, you get this black dot, whatever it is, whatever aggravates you, and you determine how big that is. But suddenly, with the Biden thing or the liberal thing or what have you, God's out of the picture. So we're thinking, I am so mad, I'm going to do something. And there's one guy we know at the market, he's already, oh, I think we're coming to war here in this country. We're going to take up arms. I'm thinking, I mentioned this before. One drone, he's gone. I mean, they don't realize. But So God's out of the picture here. And believe me, this country has a covenant with God. They got the Mayflower Compact. We got Virginia Beach, the cross in there, dedicating it to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have inauguration of our first president, George Washington, where he said, "You will be our God, we'll be your people." And then there was a first act of Congress that honored God. You know, I don't think God forgets that. Yeah, we're going through some things, but we've been through some things before. We've been through a lot of things. Well, my goodness, when Pearl Harbor hit, we had a very limited defense. We had to really build up the army. So yeah, I mean, you look at it now, you think, oh man, a bunch of snowflakes in the service and this and that and what have you. But things will change in a hurry at the right time. So we stay in faith. I don't plan to learn Chinese. I mean, unless it's to evangelize, but I don't plan to be taken over by China. And so the white space is the mercy of God, the covenant with God. So let's talk about a few black dot things, and I'm not judging anybody. You know, did you hear about that black dot? Oh, let me tell you about my black dot. You know, you ever get on, you get the bad news going, and then, man, it rolls. They're not listening to you. They're loading their gun to bring out their next black dot. This is bigger than yours. And then, we had this guy at the market Wednesday. We have this thing on the one table. It says, "If my people who shall call, humble themselves and pray and call." And this guy happens to see it. Nice guy and everything, but he doesn't shut up. He says, "Oh yeah, but that actually means this." And then he's on the Revelation. And you know, this is already taken. I'm thinking, I'm turned this way making coffee, and I'm saying, "Yeah, but," he said, "the crucifixion is everything." And I said, "Well, the resurrection." And I'm thinking, finally, I just turned around, I'm making my coffee, just turned him out, focusing on, he's probably a Christian, they just motor mouth and then all talk, no listen. So, you know, you gotta, and then we're coming home that night, tired. And she says to me, "How about that guy?" And then I thought, that's a black dot. Don't talk to me about that guy. I mean, if I get offended with this guy, then I'm blessing blocking here. So some black dots, and we talked about the giving part, but it says in 1 Corinthians 13 also, even if you have faith, all the faith in the world, you can move mountains. It won't work without love. Amen. Yeah, talking about love is tough sometimes, but love is not this mamby-pamby stuff. Love is, well, you look at 1 Corinthians, I preached on that, pastors talked on that, it defines it, especially in the Amplified, those first 8 or 9 verses. You have to turn your faith loose for it to work. Well, you know, the mousy Christian, I don't know if I want to come up against the devil. He's really big, and he's not. He's defeated. Get in there with your faith and fight the good fight of faith. So you have to turn your faith loose to work. Fear. Fear is not okay. Kenneth Copeland says, "Fear tolerated is faith contaminated." And, you know, I just want to find my Amplified, and I know I've gone over this with you guys before, but, you know, it's in the will. We have inherited something from Jesus, and it's His peace. In John 14 in the Amplified, in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my love, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you." You know, the thing's been probated. We've got the peace. "None as the world gives do I give you. No, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The key word is there, you don't let it be troubled. You don't let it be afraid. Fear is not okay. Dread is not okay. Like I said, I'm on the planning commission. Sometimes I think, oh, I got a meeting next Tuesday night. Sometimes we start at 6 and have double meeting. It's almost like a dread. And I said, no. I'm looking forward to this meeting. And you know, it turns. Some things you don't like to do, but you don't let it get into fear and dread. Do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated. Amen. Turn off CNN. Turn off and disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled. You know, I saw my dad as a pilot. You flying with him in private planes, going through a checklist, and if he was unsettled, we didn't leave. You know, you don't. And I've learned this in the driveway. Get things settled before you pull out. I know you got to get to work, but get settled. You know, listen. If you, some of the people that, in 9/11, they were rushing to work, and God said, go buy your daughter. She wants a sandwich. And she said, "Oh, I want this sandwich, Daddy." He never was late for work, but that day he was. Thank God he was. So, you know, be led by the Spirit. Praise God. So fear is not okay. Cares of this world. Also, we talk about this a lot, but I want to drum it home. Repetition is good. In Mark chapter 4, talking about the thorns, cares and anxieties of the world. These things are could be blessing blockers, because it says it'll choke the word. It becomes fruitless, suffocate the word. Distractions of the age. Remember last time I ministered, Jesus said, the number one thing, do not let yourself be deceived. Distractions of the age can get you so far off. You're on the way to deception. You can become self-deceived, and you can the word will get choked. You know, if you've got to fast the news for a month, I don't care, whatever you got to do. It's more important than because you don't really, we all don't realize how close we are here.
Amen.
And so that's why yesterday morning I was getting ready for some of this, and I thought, wait a minute, I had to worship God first. Mm-hmm. I had to put on some worship. I had to praise God. And you know, you think, I have precious little time. I've got to get this. I've got to go over to the other. But I've found this, and it's in the last 3-4 years. When I started majoring on Thanksgiving, and you touched on it, Keith Moore said, God said to him, you want to learn how to receive better. Cultivate a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. And you know, that's not exactly why I was doing it, but I started getting into fellowship with God, and that's encouraging somebody. Take the time, spend the time, worship God. Psalm 145 is good. You know, I will extol thee, O God, my King. I will bless your name forever. Out of your heart, you're doing this. And then you're not unsettled. Then you can move into, then you can hear God about a teaching or a message. So another blessing blocker, distractions of the age, grief. You know, somebody passes on. Yeah, you miss them. And there's a quote unquote grieving period. But, you know, If the son or daughter died, went on, and you know that they had made a confession of Jesus 3 or 4 years ago, why don't keep going to a grief group? You can if you want to, but I wouldn't recommend it. What do they call those things? Bereavement things. And you know, don't keep. You know, get over yourself. This is all about you and your little world that's changed. And again, we've talked to somebody that's even gone to the point, a Christian that's even gone to the point, oh, I'm going to go to a medium and try and talk to my son. Man, you are deceived. Get on the ball. So the goodness of God, the white space here, the goodness of God, that's like Jesus hanging on the cross. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we can't walk in unforgiveness if he's doing this. he's talking about, it's the mercy of God, the goodness of God. Realize, and you know, we are so blessed here. We know the will of God is healing, don't we? Does anybody not know it? We talk to people a lot that, they don't know that it's exactly God's will to heal. So if you don't know that, well, what am I going to stand against? Maybe God's doing this. How can I have any faith? How can I step out? How can I fight the good fight? Because they're not in faith. They don't know. So, and I'm telling you, there's a lot out there. Like, there's not a lot like us. I think there's got to be more coming, but we have to know that we know about these things. So, putting aside some of these blessing blocks, I just named a few there. Putting aside, repetition is good. You train yourself. Like, you know, how do I react in this situation? I actually sometimes, I don't like to do it, picture somebody insulting me and then how I'm going to react. You know, how do you train like a baseball hitter. They have no time to think about it. It's reaction. That thing's going 100 miles an hour. I was a soccer goalie. When they're shooting at you, you don't have time to react. You train, but you react. So, you know, we train ourselves, the flesh, and you can train the flesh to react in love. And, man, I'd like to hit it a higher batting average, you know, but, you know how it is. We all miss it at times. We don't have to, but we do. So we keep training. I'm trying to encourage you. Now I think about a story about Brother Hagin. I'm going to lose track of time here, but So Billy Brim is a minister of the gospel out of Branson, Missouri. She's a prophetess and that sort of thing. She worked for Brother Hagin after her husband passed away, and maybe even before a little bit. But she told this story, and I may not have all the timeline right, but it was the time, and I remember this, when somebody wrote a book blasting Kenneth Copeland, blasting Kenneth Hagin about their message, prosperity preachers, and they're off base, they're so weird and not hypocrites, but the word will come to me. So just blasting them. So Billy said they're going to have a staff meeting, and thinking, oh my God, Brother Hagin, poor Brother Hagin, he's going to come in here and has to deal with this. And I had a cousin knew that I was a partner of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and she said, I read this book, and I said, that's trash, don't talk to me about it. And that was the end of that. So anyway, but Billy said Brother Hagin comes into the staff meeting. You know, he comes in there, you know, he does this a lot. Or, I don't know. So, you know, he comes in, he sits down, he's like this. And they're wondering, what's he going to say, the poor guy? And he says, isn't Jesus wonderful? After all that, being criticized, being called not anything but nice, that's the white space. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Boy, would God that I would react that way. I mean, Kenneth Copeland reacted by telling his staff, God told him, don't have your staff ever show you anything written about you, good or bad. You might believe the good, and the bad you don't want to have it as a black dot, so to speak. So turn to 2 Corinthians 4:18. By the way, Alcoholics Anonymous keeps people, and Gamblers Anonymous, I presume, keeps people focused on the black dot. Well, I'm such and such, and I'm an alcoholic for 22 years. Well, I'm Michael Arendo, and I've been born again, and I'm full of the Holy Ghost. So, unfortunately, and I guess it programs work, but they have focus on the black dot. The white space is freedom, deliverance. Colossians, I've been delivered from alcohol. I can testify I've been delivered from a 3-pack-a-day Marlboro habit, and I became a non-smoker. Some people become ex-smokers and they crave it. No, I don't. In fact, it's offensive to me now, the smell of people, when they light up. But anyway, so what did I say? 2 Corinthians 4, right? 4:18. We'll get there. It's 4:18. Did I say 18? It is 18, yes. All right. Okay, I'm in first. That's good, but I'll read all the way to get over to the... No. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat the small stuff. 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. So, don't look at the things that are seen. They're temporal. In other words, in the times we're in especially, if we go another 500 years, I am so surprised. But, you know, how close is this? So close. These are temporal. Things are all going to change. This has been transition. We feel like we're in transition. I think maybe the whole church is in transition right now. But this has been so long. I mean, I've been uncomfortable in my flesh for so long. I mean, yeah, you have some comfort, but transition sometimes, like a few months, and okay, now I know, I see this. God's moving me here. Oh, yippee. I don't know about you, but I think we've been in transition. It's like, let's go, let's get there. But you got to stay in faith. And it's step by step by step. Step up. You want to step up. Oh, yeah, I see some more now. I see that. And that's the truth. You do see it more. But these things are temporal. So why focus on them? If you're, say you got a report that you have cancer on your hand or something. Well, it went from good to bad. Rejoice, because if it changed, it's temporal. It can go from good, bad to good. You know, too much of the church thinks, well, this is all, I got a doomsday thing now, man. I'm done. It may be a harder road than be defending the position at the top of the hill, the high ground, but you can get a foothold. You can climb up that way. I give you my leave. Safe trip. So you can change, things can change that are, excuse me, the tempo. You're going to miss my baseball example. So isn't Jesus wonderful? We focus on these things. Things can be changed. So two things that will absolutely change your life is don't look at something and do look at something. Don't look at the temporal. And do look at the eternal. My God, this has set me free over the years in certain areas. I mean, you say you got this problem, and years ago this would be a major problem to me, but yeah, so what? Because I'm focused on the eternal realm. And in worship this morning, I'm thinking about people worshiping God in heaven, and all of a sudden Jesus steps out and the place goes wild yet. So we got this as a sure foundation, a sure thing. So, I know it's not easy looking at it if you got to go to a doctor every other day. You got to go treatment. You got to do this. You got to do that. But these things are temporal. They can be overcome. Things can change. We look at the eternal. We have a foundation. So we just got to, the temporal are the black dots. Okay, say you got a diagnosis of cancer in your hand or whatever. Or whatever diagnosis. Oh, man, that's bad news. Well, you need a different report. Amen. That can change. That's temporal. That can change to the good report. That's the black dot. So I know, I can imagine, that would be very difficult. But, okay, well, and let's say it's really bad. There's nothing else we can do. You know, Mylon Lefebvre, you know who I mean? Mylon Lefebvre passed away here recently, and he was in faith to be healed, but he fought the good fight. Diagnosis, the doctor said, there's nothing we can do, black dot, but he focused on the goodness of God, the healing of God, and I'm not judging him, he did go home, he went home about 78 or 79 years old. But, so you get a diagnosis, you've got to not look at the temporal, you got to look at the eternal. Yeah, you got to decide, am I going to go surgery, am I going to do this, going to do that? Yeah, I don't mean not to do some natural things, but don't focus on the black dot as death sentence. You've got to look at the white space. You've got to look at the eternal. You've got to look, and the devil might be taunting you, saying, oh man, you're done. Yeah, you're another 2 weeks, you'll be in the grave. They'll be looking down on you. And you can say, oh, tick-tock, devil, let's talk about your future. So in the very worst case scenario, if that happens, I am in glory. But you, devil, tick-tock on you. I read in the back of the book, they're going to put you in a hole. And then for after a period of time, they're going to get you out and you're going to the lake of fire. Let's talk about your future. I guarantee you that moves the devil. Amen. Fleeing. So, then you got to do that. Live or die, fight the good fight of faith. Because you don't want to go into heaven, say, having actually succumbed to something in fear and in grief and dread. It'd be better if you go in swinging that sword, shooting that gun, and you're getting that machine gun, defending your position. And Jesus will say, okay, well, maybe you missed it here, but man, you got out, you're here, but you're good. I love you, you're good. So you got to start replacing some of the wrong things by looking at the black dots, the temporary, with doing the right thing, looking at the eternal, looking at the goodness of God. And I tell you what, this may not be easy on you, on your flesh. He might say, okay, you fast this, or you go do this, or you go do that, and I don't want to go do this, I don't want to do that. But, I'm not talking about mamby-pamby situations. I'm talking about focusing on the eternal. And, I've been pulled up short, gone to the woodshed, over the last couple of years on some things, but it's good for me. So, there is a more permanent thing, and I'm trying to just get this point of the, even in this realm, before you would leave, if you're, get on the permanent. There are gifts of the Spirit. There are things that can happen, last moment in time. I'm trying to be encouraging. Now turn to Romans chapter 10. Another thing that'll change, two things that'll change your life is, no, absolutely can change you is stop saying the wrong things and start saying what God said. Now, this chapter is a lot on, it's about, I'm filled with faith and confession, but I mean, of all the people on the planet that should know about confession, it would be us. And I'll tell you what, there's things you could take a baseball bat and threaten my life, and I'm not going to say it. I'll probably take you out in the way, but no. So, no, I'm like, I dealt with phobias and fears. You will not get me to say I'm afraid. Although, maybe last year, I could not believe this came out of my mouth at the market. We were so busy. People lined up, trying to keep all the coffee going, blah, 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 everything going on. And somebody said something in passing, some casual remark, and I said the afraid word for some stupid, not saying I'm afraid. And I thought, what did I say? Man, I repented immediately. I've not done that, and I'm not doing that. But, you know, in the 70s, I got born again November 19, 1976. And I got into the Word of Faith by September 1977, never turned back. And I learned, man, the late 70s, early 80s, this was drilled into us. And maybe we were the confession police, but it didn't hurt. And I taught some on this at another church, and I knew they weren't getting it because they'd say, oh, yeah, that's right. And then they'd go out and talk. You'd hear them talk in unbelief, and you'd see some of the result. But we should know these things. We should know to watch our mouth, so to speak. Because in Romans 10:6 it says, but the righteous which is of faith speaks on this way, this wise. Say not in your heart. So these are things not to say. Two things. Don't say what you shouldn't say, and say what you should say. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. So, you know, oh God, come down and touch me. You know, he's already come down. When are you going to believe that he's healed you? Oh, and I know it's semantics, it's talking, and I've been in line, and good preachers, like they say, oh God, touch this, come down and touch this person. And I know what they mean, but I'm not judging that, but if you're always saying, oh God, I'm begging you, save me. You know, two things God's not going to do. He's not going to do something and answer a prayer for you that he's already done. You know, he's already said, you appropriate that thing. And he's not going to answer a prayer of you asking him to do something he's already asked you to do, told you to do. Oh God, take this cigarette from me. No, he's delivered us. Use your faith. You do that. Anyway, it's awful quiet in here. And stay right there, but I want to interject this scripture out of 2 Corinthians 5:7 if you're taking notes about, well, it's simply we walk by faith and not by sight. So, you know, if you're looking at the black dots all the time, you're walking by sight. If you're saying, well, I'm going to get healed someday, did I say 5:7? Yeah. If we walk by faith, not by sight. If you're saying, I know God's going to heal me, so you're not, 1 Peter 2:24 is not real to you yet. I know God's going to deliver me of this habit. This is hard. I mean, I'm being hard on people here, but that means you're not already delivered? And what I'm saying is, I smoked quite a while yet, knowing I was delivered. I didn't understand how this worked, but by knowing I was delivered, the smoking left. So by knowing you're healed, I don't have to go to that piano, try and get to it. I've got this. And I'm not looking at the temporary symptoms, the temporal things. I'm looking at the eternal Word of God that's more sure than the sun rising. You know, this planet will be destroyed, but the Word will not be destroyed. So you got to put your faith in that. And do people die like that, doing that, believing that? Yeah, but we don't want to go that way. There's a way here. And it says, who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. See, he's already come. Oh, if I could just get God to move for me. He's already moved. He's already come. He's already done this. We can't have Jesus. Well, God, could you just heal me? Please heal me. And I know there's people out there that have no knowledge and God will move in His mercy, but He's not going to send Jesus to the whipping post again for you, is He? That would be a sacrilege. I mean, He's done it, so let's put faith in what He's done. This is major league stuff. I mean, we've got to walk in this, and I'm learning as we go here. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you shall be saved, healed. Same word, saved, healed. So we know this for salvation, to lead somebody to the Lord. One of the scriptures we can do. But for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Key word here, unto. I want to get my notes on that. I looked at... unto. I don't know, is that a conjunction or what is that? I didn't do too well in English. When they did diagramming, I was looking out the window. So, unto, this is Mr. France. Unto, that means that which transitioned towards or resulting in. So, are we looking for results? So, it says, for with the heart man believes unto something. With the mouth confession is made unto something. I heard Charles Caps minister on this. It got into me. Yeah, we got it for salvation. But you can, with the heart, believe unto something. Prosperity, unto deliverance. With the mouth confession is made unto something. Resulting in something. The New American Standard actually says, with the heart, a person believes resulting in righteousness. Do you have an NAS? Yeah. With the mouth he confesses resulting in something. You want results. You know, you can believe in your heart, get it in your heart, confess with your mouth unto something, resulting in something. You thank God for salvation, most important thing, but it can be done for cigarettes or, well, I'm using that as a habit thing, or cussing or what have you. You know, I am delivered. I am confessing my deliverance unto resulting in that deliverance. You know what I'm saying? You getting this? So this is where we don't look at the temporal. Look at the eternal. Look at the big space here. God's given us. Do you think He doesn't understand when you're, like when I was out walking around, lighting my cigarettes up one after the other, thinking about Brother Hagin, and I am delivered. I don't understand. Do you think He's saying, you dummy, you don't get this. Get out of my face. No, He's drawing us. He'll help you every step of the way. That's how good God is. I am so amazed at the goodness of God lately. Whew. I mean, the goodness of God will deliver you from anything. So we're looking for these results. Like I said, the 70s and 80s, we were also big on in Him, in Christ. Some of you people weren't even born in the mid-70s or yet, or I don't know, I'm looking around here. So, and that's a good point. You know, some of us who are sages, wisdom, you know. I mean, I guess when you get to 70, you did learn a few things, some people. But anyway, but we got to realize, some of us are older here, that I tend to think back to the 70s like that. It was just a moment ago. And this is such good word. I drove an hour and a half one way to work and back every day going to listen to cassette tapes. Thrilled to do it. Man, I'm just feeding and feeding. So I tend to think even now that everybody's got this. But you got to realize some of these people weren't even born when we were getting what we got. And some of the people that were getting it when I got it have left it because they haven't esteemed it as precious, the word. They thought, and that is why I got more. That's why you're getting more. We esteem it as precious, the word. You put it there and it just, that's why Jesus said to him that has more should be given. You're never going to regret feeding more and more on the word. If it's dry, just keep going. But I've found the study and when I do have study time, you can go off on so many things. And I don't want to go off on too many things here, but. So, you know, in Christ, in Him, in the epistle prayers, He's not saying, oh God, do something. He's saying, oh, thank God the eyes of understanding are enlightened, enlighten their eyes so they see. You know, it's a done deal. Let them see this thing. And sometimes I think when I'm praying, I pray for all our family. I pray for ministers. I pray for you guys. And not every day, I don't get to do it every day, but I'm thinking, I'm telling him, I think, am I diluting this? I mean, does this actually go all the way down for Rosie? But I mean, I'm naming all these people, Conrad, and I'm God saying, like, do you think I am that limited? Certainly, I'm praying, and the word is so powerful. So I covet your prayers on the word. You can tend to think in these days, well, here I am, I'm 71, and I didn't get that in my life yet. I didn't get to do that yet. But don't ever spend your time talking or meditating on what you don't know. Man, we're learning. It's exponentially happening for us in the world right now, if we're listening and focused. Don't ever talk or meditate on what you don't have. I'm thinking of something now. Yeah, I never got one of them, and I'd like one. But I do know that I'm not bragging, but we put hundreds of thousands of dollars into the gospel. I know that. So that's bigger than anything else, even if I would never get this piece of something. Even if I never would, when the thing turns and the trumpet sounds, am I going to be concerned about that? One of my biggest regrets is not learning to fly. I flew a lot with my dad. I like aviation, but I never got a license. So, but do you think when the trumpet sounds, I'm not going to be flying some good stuff? Man, I think about my dad now, B-29 pilot. He is probably flying some big stuff. So, I don't get off on that. But do not talk or meditate on what you can't do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What you can't do, what you don't have yet, and what you don't know is a black dot. Don't focus on it. Focus on the fact that God is that good. He'll get me this wisdom. I know pastors. I ask things. What I'm trying to understand this about the Word. And invariably, you put your faith out. You either get it here or other things. You listen to the Word. He'll give you knowledge. He'll give you the things. So, I'm going to skip a few things here, but I do want to use an example here because just humor me. I really want to. We got a few minutes here. I played center field mostly and right field. Soccer was my better sport, but I did some baseball. My senior year, I broke my wrist and I just got out of it for spring training. Oh, this is a piece of cake to cast on here. And I had the power shift, so I had to go over here with the Camaro. Anyway, the cast comes off. I can't throw a ball. They used to say, man, that Arendo center, he can throw like, I'm not bragging, but anyway. So I ran track. I was fast. And when I was in eighth grade, they saw me run one time, and they tested me on things. I mean, really fast. But anyway, so this is an example about baseball, positioning, focus. So this is my actual glove. So I heard this guy who was a coach, very good coach. He coached major college team baseball. He actually was with the Houston Astros for a bit, and he was rooting for them. I heard him talk about this before the World Series and for the playoffs. I guess they were involved. I haven't followed this, but although I did hear on the news station we watch, a Christian news station, the Texas Rangers, I guess, won the World Series. We had to look up where the Rangers were from. I didn't even know where they were. Huh? Oh, yeah, you did know it. I told one of my buddies, yeah, I loved the Braves when they were in Milwaukee. When I was a kid, I knew all about baseball. You know, they used to be in Milwaukee. So anyway, he's talking about this. He's now a pastor, but he was a coach, and I mean a good coach. So, oh, yes, thank you. The Rangers, I found out, were the only team that did not do a LGBT night. Pride night. Really? The only team in the major leagues. And they are the world champions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I need a drink. I've been pitching here a while. I got to take a drink. Yeah. Darlene played third base. And she still has end center, but you had quite an arm. If we got bagels sometimes that are in the freezer too long, then man, she can chuck those things. Maybe the deer like bagels? I don't know. So positioning. This guy's talking about this. Now they're big college things, and I don't know which teams, he didn't say. But it's down to the last game of the whatever number of games they had to play. It's down to the last inning. And as would have it, the bases are loaded. It's three balls, two strikes. This is it. This coach's team is ahead, but the bases are loaded. So, and at this particular time, he is the outfield coach. They had a lot of different coaches, I guess. So they have the sheets on these batters. The shows what they're tending to do. So he's moving his outfielders, getting them in position. Infield guy doing the same. So, the pitcher's like this, getting the sign. And the infield coach in the first base dugout suddenly realizes he made a mistake. The sheet on this hitter, he made a mistake. Last game, somebody's going to get the ring, two outs, bases loaded, 3-2, full count. The pitcher's already going like this to wind up. This infield coach throws the papers up. Well, it's all over. This is it. And he yells, third base guy, and because of the position, he sees him, two steps right. Because this guy is a known pull hitter. He had missed that, and he's in the scouting report. So the third baseman hears him, and then the throw is on the way to the plate. So he does this. Now, if I was on third base doing that, I'd be doing this. But this guy did this. And so that means if you get a normal third base hit over this way, it's all over. Yeah. And the chances are, if the base is loaded, full count, they're going to be running.
Yeah.
So they're going to score. Any hit's going to score at least two runs. All right, so this third baseman, the pitch is there. He's here. The batter swings right down the line. Got the ball. We win. Positioning. That ball would have went in the corner. That would have probably scored all three runs.
Yeah.
So positioning. That's what he was talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I need some oil on there. Positioning. So, I'm not done with this. A lot of Christians got their wad of gum, bubble gum in their mouth. I was at church the other week. Okay, I'm here, third base, maybe center field, whatever. Chewing on their gum. When's he gonna get done? It's like one of the little kids in the outfield. We've seen them when our kids playing ball. They're out there picking the. But these are major leaguers, supposed to be, but Christians. Yeah, I really want healing. Zing, healing just went by. I want prosperity. All of heaven is telling them, move two steps right, positioning. See, now here you're taking action based on what God's already done, but you got to get in position. You got to stop being offended. You got to, what have you, stop the unforgiveness. You got to walk in love. So this is a bad rap for us. These guys out here, nominal Christians, and it's going by them. I don't know why. Where's God in all this? Oh, I've heard people say that you'd like to take a 2x4 and that's not in love, yeah. I call that 2x4 logic when somebody just doesn't get it. So, got to get in the right position. I'm going to wrap up with this scripture now in Luke chapter 10. Can you handle another few minutes? Who give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay. Get it? 5, 10. I'm kidding. Okay. Boy, it's warm. I got to take this off a minute. So, getting in the right position. So, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Am I in the right chapter? Yeah, here we are. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into their house. I think it was Bethany. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Key word, heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She was a black dot police. In her mind, Mary was a black dot. We got to get food on here. She's out there listening to God. What do you, she's, you know, goes to Jesus, the black dot police, and says, "Don't you care that she's not helping me? You know, bitter therefore that she helped me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, and which shall not be taken from her." So, if Jesus showed up right now, walked in here and said to us, "One thing is needful." I know what I'd have my notebook out. Okay, what? Okay, Jesus. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, maybe those nominal Christians would be thinking, "Oh, is he? Now I got to wait for lunch." But Jesus show up would say that. No, well, the word says that one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. And what did Mary do? She sat at the feet. Now, their fellowship with the Lord, and heard His word. So that is what is needful, taking the time for the presence of God and the word of God. Yeah, the meal's important, obviously. I mean, you guys are hungry. You'd like to eat, wouldn't you, soon? So, but I actually heard this testimony. Again, it was Kenneth Copeland. He was at a house doing a meeting like this, and the woman of the house, I think he might have preached on this sometime before, and she heard him, and she said, "Hey, I'm not going to miss this. You want food, you can figure it out." To Kenneth Copeland, I'm sitting in here. He said, the doorbell rang, somebody came with a tray of steaks. So that lady, I mean, thank God, she was not the Martha, she was the Mary, and they ate pretty well, I guess. I mean, so... "Well, I just don't have time. I know. And believe me, I know. You think I'm refired, but I got a business. I mean, we have as much going on as anybody. You may not believe that, but we do. We have businesses. We got things. So you could say, "Well, I don't have time." We try and avoid saying we're busy. I know that's a button issue with hot button issue with pastor. Saying you're busy. We shouldn't be saying this. "Oh, I'm too busy." So you're going to tell the Creator of everything there is, who created eternity, sliced out this piece called time, which we're in now in these last moments. You're going to tell Him you don't have time? You know, when you look at the magnitude of where we are, I think about one of the games I played in soccer. I'm a goalie. I'm defense. I'm on the high ground. I'm not letting them by me in that, because if they do, they score. And I did well. I was MVP senior year, but all that. But I think about when it's down and dirty. If we knew the time, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's, well, I'll go by the grave, and I don't think so. But if we knew the time, and if it was that close, I think we were behind 1-0. And okay, you know the time's running out. We got the timer. And the coach says, "Everybody up. Now, I'm the goalie. I'm up. Everybody's up. We got seconds left. We got a score to tie this thing up." Well, what if they kick it over your head? So what? We lose anyway. So everybody's up on offense, and the push is on. I think in basketball, the full court press. I'm not into basketball, so I'm not bringing a ball next time. So, you know, we're in this slice of time. And believe me, I've said it. I don't have time. I probably said it a lot in the last week. I'm judging myself, though. But if you look like the scripture, don't look at the temporal. I know we've got to work. I know we got to be at work on time. I know we got to do this. You got responsibilities. You got to feed the dog. You got to do this. You got to get the leaves. You got to do this. I know that. But somehow, we got to not look at the black dot, the temporal. We got to look at the eternal. If you knew, and I'm not... if you knew the trumpet was going to sound January 2nd, then what would you do? I mean, so I'm just trying to jog your thinking. Believe me, I'm where you are. I know the pressures of life. But there's answers in the Holy Ghost. Supernaturally, we've seen this where we put God first. Things happen that I don't know how could have happened otherwise. I mean, am I telling the truth? Things happen like you get double done when you spent all this time doing something for God. I can't figure it out because it's probably physics and fifth dimension stuff. I mean, not Marilyn McCoo, but the 60s Marilyn McCoo, fifth dimension, you got that? Okay. It's probably the other dimension where, you know, but it works. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You give, it's going to be given unto you. So, you know, position yourself closer to the light. Take time to go into His presence. Martha was distracted. And, I mean, she missed out on some things. I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. Did she come in then? What happened? I don't know. But remember that what Brother Hagin said, isn't Jesus wonderful? When they criticize His whole character, a major minister made a publication. You say, oh, well, yeah. Well, what if they write about you? It would be a different story. I know they said that about, there's my reputation. But isn't Jesus wonderful? Focusing on the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, and look where it got Him. So, you know, don't quit. Keep on keeping on. The Word is the truth, and it'll work for you. The black dots are temporal. The white space is eternal. So, Father God, we thank You and praise You for Your goodness today. We thank You for the Word. We take it to heart. We listen to You. We're going to act on it. We thank You for this coming week. We take authority over distractions and distractions of the age. We set ourselves to focus on You, to position ourselves, to move two steps right or whatever it takes to get in that position so we win, because we've already won. You've already got the victory, but we want to be in that position to take it. So we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.